Hey there, Oakless said listeners. Just a quick note to let you know that Aaron has written and sung, just specifically for Todd Gregg, a rap. And it's at the end of the show. Thanks for listening.
Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Are you ready? I'm ready. Good. Are you ready?
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. And as always, we have the brilliant
Aaron Barnes.
Teach from here, Mr. Scott Hazelwood. No. You can't cut me off.
Okay, sorry.
We have Scott Hazelwood here. He's the brilliant.
Yeah, I'm something. I don't know about brilliant.
I'm
just trying to bask. I'm just basking in your glory.
Whatever. Well, this week's episode, it's going to be a humdinger.
So, I have a feeling. I feel like we should provide some context for those that maybe listen to this podcast in the future.
Okay, and that maybe even aren't from Oklahoma.
So, as we alluded to in the last episode, the Oklahoma legislature, and correct me anywhere where I get a detail wrong or maybe fuzzy, Aaron. But our Oklahoma legislature in May has to pass a balanced budget before they can adjourn. And so... Yes. They had a more difficult time than normal this time around trying to pass that balanced budget, and finally at the last second came through with several different revenue items. But the rules in Oklahoma are really specific on how taxes and fees can be handled, and certain votes have to happen certain ways with certain supermajorities to count. So it's very messy. And over the summer, the Supreme Court threw out two or three of the different revenue measures, which threw our budget out of balance, which means that we had to have a special session. So I think we're into week three now of special session. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think it's week three.
Yeah.
At roughly $35,000 per day, no matter how long they meet, whether they meet for 1 hour or all day, it's about $35,000 a day to host, and we're on week three. So.
Yeah.
With no end in sight. With no end in sight, honestly.
You basically got it right there.
Okay.
So this was the update Twitter chat for that legislative session, and you know, just things that pertain to policy and education in general for Oklahoma.
And also to give a bit more context, we're a very conservative state, so I think. If you look at, like, do we have 100 in the House of Reps here in Oklahoma? And I think 72 or 4 of them are Republican. So that's a vastly majority, Republican. With a few Democrats. So that's kind of the pot we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans can't even agree with each other. So it's really quite cantankerous at the moment. And... we were also referred to as terrorists yesterday by one of our state representatives.
Yeah.
So there's that, which is weird. Anyway, that's kind of the cauldron that we're sitting in for the policy chat this
definitely
week.
Definitely a witch's brew, yes?
Oh, yeah. Eye of Newt and Fang of Bat and all of that is in there. It's crazy. Well, lead us into it. Who hosted?
So we had Sean Heim, obviously, hosting this one, and he does all of our fifth Sunday chats. I didn't get a hold of him this time. It might be that the guy is just insanely busy. And thank you for being insanely busy. But, you know, we hope we get to catch up with you again soon.
And I believe he's with the Oklahoma State School Board Association.
Yes. Yeah.
The OSSBA.
The OSSBA.
Right.
anyway, so no interview this time, but maybe you and I can cover with less brilliance than Mr. Heim would have done, you know, our answers with the chat.
Yeah, maybe so. I know that he would have a unique view because he's more familiar with a lot of the specific totally. Numbers that yeah. are going on. But I'm sure we can try and do a good job of being good jobish.
I hope it wasn't me that like turned him off and was like, Oakless said calling again, that Aaron Barnes. I don't think so.
I would imagine that with the things that he's having to advocate for right now, his time is pretty precious.
Probably. So, question one, what are your thoughts about the Oklahoma legislature special session impasse?
I feel like at some point in time, you have to get along for the good of everybody.
For the greater good, man.
For the greater good. I mean, we've disagreed on stuff before, right?
You and I have, yes.
I mean, there's been a couple times maybe some excited tones of talking.
Much like this one?
Sort of.
No. No, I totally agree. But when it comes down to it, I mean, we are talking about cutting mental health. We are talking about cutting special services, you know, across the board with state, you know, we just cut DHS to the bare bones minimum. And I'm trying not to talk teacher pay, because even though it is definitely needed and necessary, mm-hmm. we've gotten by this far and I don't want it to be about teacher pay. But at a certain point, you get what you put in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I mean, I don't know what else to say to that. I do hope people are listening and people are watching the Twitter. And I do hope that we can figure something out this week, but I don't know. I went with an Ann Beck tweet here. She is at Mrs. Beck 25. She said, if anyone else did their job like the Oklahoma legs, we wouldn't have a job to come back to.
Yeah.
She said, hashtag OklaEd, hashtag do better, not the hashtag okay standard.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, it's okay to hold on to your beliefs. I mean, you shouldn't compromise your beliefs. But on the other hand, if you're an elected official, you have to also keep in mind the greater good. So even if maybe your belief is very fiscally conservative, no taxes, at some point, though, you have to look around and go, for the greater good of Oklahoma, I'm going to vote for this even though I don't want to. I don't know. Something. I mean, there has to be a greater good situation here. I mean, you can only cut away so much money.
No, I totally agree. I'm going to probably catch some heck here. But I was a state question 779 vote downer. Do you remember?
The penny sales tax?
The penny sales tax. Because I was like, no, you can't keep taxing the poor. I mean, I was like, let's raise it on oil. Come on, man. Like, anything except for the people who do their regular grocery shopping, their regular school clothes shopping. Like, stop taxing the people so much. I mean, it was going to raise it to over 10 cents here in Sepulpa. But now I'm like, can we please put this back on the ballot? Because I cannot believe. I truly thought, Scott, something was going to come along. I really did think something was going to come along and we couldn't go that route. But at this point, I mean, like, crap, man.
I was on the fence for that one a long time too. And ultimately, I don't remember how I voted on that one, because on the one hand, yes, teachers need a raise. But on the other hand, and I kind of came at it from a different point of view, I don't mind paying an extra penny. Like, I don't mind. And I think for most folks, that extra penny isn't going to be a matter of food scarcity or not. For most, I know for some it's very sensitive. But sure. I was also coming at it from the point of view of, I don't want to fund a teacher pay raise out of a 1 cent sales tax, and then police or fire department or mental health or these other things don't have that same option, because we're all in the same boat together. We all depend on the state for a budget. And so I just didn't feel like it was like, as a fire department person of any sort, not important enough to have a sales tax, 1 cent sales tax. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so I just feel like sometimes this whole teacher raise thing, yeah, it's important, but I don't want a teacher raise at the expense of another vital, critical, needed function that our government can provide.
Right.
I don't think that's fair at all.
No. And gosh, it just is insane to me that we've come up with nothing yet.
Yeah. So I went with Brendan Jarvis, who is at Jarvis UPS 918. He said, left and right ideology getting in the way of something positive. Very frustrated with a lack of compromise.
It really is.
And then I put an investment gap graphic in there from Mr. Heim. Let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah.
And take a look. But I think, too, and like my representative is Kevin Calvey, and he's very anti-tax. He's almost sounds like, to me, his point of view is anti-revenue. He's anti-tax. He's anti-Supreme Court, even. He just, I don't know. And somebody put a picture of what they had a compromise budget situation go through one of the subcommittees, and they put up a picture of him when he saw it was going to fail, and he was legitimately happy that it wasn't going to go through. Like, he had a smile on his face, and he was almost like, it looked like joy. I hate to say that, but that's what it appeared to me. It could have been one of those wry sense of humor sort of, oh, here we go again, laughs too. I mean, I don't know, but
sure.
Anyway, so here we go. Current spending per pupil. Okay, so this will be per pupil. In Kansas is $10,240. In Oklahoma, it's $7,995. And they have a lot of the same conservative ideologies that we have in Kansas, and they've been told by their state Supreme Court that their funding formula is unconstitutional.
Well, and we should point out that these are averages.
Yeah, this is an average.
We're all clear.
Right, this is an average. So Texas, who all our teachers are fleeing to, comes in at, they fund their spending, they fund per pupil is about $8,600. Just for kicks and giggles. So I don't know. Yeah. Stark difference there. $3,000 a kid almost, $2,500. That's a lot.
No, it's a huge huge difference.
It's huge. So question two, what should the legislature do to resolve the current budget deficit? Raise revenue, cut state agencies, or both? And I know that, you know, one of the things that somebody, conservative representatives like to share is, well, how much money do you need? Like, when's enough? Like, you want us to just throw money at it. And I get that that's a real thing, but At some point, I'd like to try that way, because we've cut and cut and cut and cut and cut, and cuts we're having to make here at my school, and even in Edmond before I left Edmond, like, any further cuts were going to directly impact students, period.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just to get rid of the fluff and the extra. You know, it's crazy. And I saw a tweet earlier today, I think it was shared during this debate, that if we got rid of all the color printers at the Oklahoma Department of Education, State Department of Education, we could save $100,000 a year. Well, that's great. But we're looking for somewhere along the lines of $300 million that we have to find.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't get it, you know?
We're going to have to find a few more of those $100,000 cuts.
Now,
I mean, it's like death by paper cuts.
Yeah.
I mean, bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed. That's a bad way to go.
Right. That's, anyway. And I think I saw somewhere too, and I don't know how true this is, because I truly don't understand all the ins and outs and workings of everything that goes on in the House and in the Senate, and how it all, I really don't get. I know that there's taxes and there's fees and there's laws, and I understand that part, but some of the more basic meatier, you know, this is how the funding actually occurs. But I think I saw somewhere where the budget, like off the top items that are considered holy grail items, untouchable, is something like 60% of the budget or 40% of the budget or something.
Oh,
like
my
that
goodness.
So they're really only trying to establish a budget for, you know, like 50% of or whatever, but they're really just trying to set a budget for a small percentage of the overall revenue that they have.
Right, right.
So I think I saw that somewhere. Well,
I went with a Claudia Swisher tweet on this one.
Yeah, she's a bulldog.
She is a bulldog. You know what? And I missed a lot of these voices over the last several weeks. I think some of these voices are really coming in, especially for these chats. And I just wanted to throw out there, I miss some of you mm-hmm. that aren't here all the time anymore. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate your tone this time. Anyway, Claudia Swisher, she said, it's time for corporations that benefit from our state to contribute to our state. No more taxes on the middle class. Yeah. Hashtag restore GPT.
So in Oklahoma, the GPT has said 3%.
Right. And I saw some people, I mean, go as conservative as a 4% mm-hmm. versus, you know, some of the more liberal 10% hike. But somewhere in that range, it would only make sense to me, right? To me, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one.
Right. And the GPT is the gross production tax based on oil wells yes. and their production.
Yes.
And I believe how it's set up is it does eventually go to 7%, but it's after like year three or four of the production of the well when something like 80% of the oil has already been pumped out.
Exactly.
So that's kind of how that's structured. And I get that oil companies don't want to pay a higher tax. Like, I get that.
Well, and it's not constant, so I get that too. But right.
But I also...
Go ahead.
When you look at... all the states were the lowest by far.
For sure. That's what I was about to say.
And oil's in Oklahoma. It's not everywhere. And I just don't see how an oil company is going to up and leave based on a taxing situation.
Right.
I mean, you still can only go certain places to get oil in the United States. I don't know. It's sticky. It's sticky. Yeah. So I went with Dr. Jason James. He's at James409 Jason. He said, absolutism has caused this problem on both sides of the aisle. We need statesmen and stateswomen, not people running for re-election.
Yeah.
So
the crazy thing is, you know, there are several freshman legislators in there. And I've seen tweets over the last couple of weeks, them just like banging their head against a brick wall because yeah. their voice must be, I mean, imagine going into a teaching position and being a first year teacher fresh out of school. People are going to be like, oh, you sweet thing sometimes.
Right.
And I bet they're saying it to these freshman legislators as well. But I mean, they're in there trying to get stuff taken care of. You know, thinking that they can change the world right now.
Right.
And they're just banging their heads against the wall because they're stuck too.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted, there's a tweet came up the other day from Nathan Dom talking about, you know, he's a firm no new taxes guy ever.
Right.
And somebody responded to that and he goes, hey, if you feel like you're not paying enough taxes and you can always do these things, you can over contribute and do these things to pay more taxes. And the person replied, schools are willing to do that. Like they pass bonds and things like that to do that. And
yes.
And then his response had something to do with, you know, why is there an assistant superintendent who makes more than a governor? And I don't know why he would compare those to, they're not really the same. I mean, I guess one's a leader and so's the other one, but anyway. And so my response to that was administration in Oklahoma, the cost, the administrative cost in Oklahoma is really a small piece of the pie overall. And his reply was the head smack meme. The head smack gift, so it showed all the people smacking their heads. And he goes, if you consider X number of million dollars a small piece of the pie, and he slammed me. And so I went and found a little graph and put it up there. Here's the whole education budget. Administration is 8.7%, and it is less than the regional average, which is what everybody always yeah. talks about. And so he hasn't yep. responded to that yet. And I know he can be difficult to talk to as well, I've heard from lots of people. So anyway, I don't know, just some of those emotions are really raw out there, all the way around.
We are 20 minutes in and have not even gotten to question three.
Here it is.
Thank you for all of you who are still with us. And but you've got to get all the points out there to be able to have a well-rounded, you know, a well-rounded explanation as to why you feel the way you feel, mm-hmm. and think the way you think, and to be able to get a hold of your legislator and talk to them. And so hopefully we, with this chat, will light some fires. I don't know. Question three. What are your thoughts about the bipartisan plan that included increased taxes on cigarettes, gas, low point beer, and gross production tax from 2 to 4%? I don't like the tax on cigarettes and beer, only because it just seems like that's a tax on the poor, personally. Everybody buys gasoline, so, you know, that seems like a more equitable tax right there. But then obviously GPT tax can go up as well. So I was for and against it, but Scott Goodrich, who is at Scott Goodrich on the Twitters as well, he said it seems like a good compromise. I'm still confused as to why it failed. They can go back and amend it during regular session. And I thought, yeah, I mean, it's not the best, mm-hmm. but what we're looking for right now is a Band-Aid to get us through until, you know, January, when we come back into session and they can fix it.
Right. And I myself enjoy low point beer. I'm not really a smoker, yeah. but I don't mind paying a penny or two or three here or there. I mean, to me, it doesn't make a matter in my lifestyle, but for other people who count every single penny, it's huge. And it mostly impacts our lower socioeconomic, families, because those pennies are counted so darn closely. So
yes, they are. Hello.
Yep. Hold on.
Who is it?
Turn it down. So anyway, I think it's just one of those things where I don't know. And we are working so hard to get all of the, cigarettes smoking stopped. Right. So, I mean, so why would we tax that anyway? Like, we're trying to eliminate that, which to me seems like right. a revenue stream that's going away now. So how are we going to replace that revenue in the future? I don't know. I just feel like we need some revenue streams here. So Rob Miller, who is at Edge Blogger, he said, "What I find offensive is perpetually hanging carrot of a pay raise in front of teachers, then yanking it away at the last minute. It's sort of like Lucy with the with the football and Charlie Brown. No, I'll really hold it this time."
Yeah. No, that's getting pretty boring. You know, I mean, I'm pretty bored of that as well.
Yeah, and we had a framework to figure out, maybe sort of, kind of, how to do a teacher pay raise in the last session. I mean, I don't want your framework. I want you to take care of education, because if you can take care of education, it will benefit the state in ways that we cannot possibly imagine. But
yeah, well, and a part of me just thinks, gosh. Again, even if it's not a teacher pay raise, which is desperately needed, if you just fully fund schools like other schools are being funded, maybe it's more teachers in the building, which reduces my student load in my classroom, which essentially is also a pay raise. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially, because it's a little bit less work. I'm just thinking, like, even if you just fully fund my classroom... so that I don't have to buy pencils and erasers, so that right. I'm not buying copy paper, so that I'm not buying, like, hello, please just fund my classroom. Maybe it would be a pay raise. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, it comes down to the whole, you know, the state of Oklahoma shall provide a free public education to the students. But we spend $400 every year on school supplies. So that's not necessarily free. And those are necessary and important things for education. I don't know. Tricky. Right. So Sean also shared a graphic. Well, and you can
see, the teacher pay comparison chart
there. Yeah. So regional average which is what everybody likes to compare us to, is $48,494. And Oklahoma pay falls in there at $44,921, which I'm not sure exactly how that number's developed. Because that still seems high to me. Like the last time I looked at a, like I put in master's degree plus 30, looked at my years of experience, which was going to be 18. And I was at 42 for total compensation.
Right.
So
we have a lot of teachers who have been here for 30 plus years, maybe? A bajillion of them?
I guess. No, I'm just kidding. They're all at the... question four. The final solution is reportedly to fill the budget deficit with rainy day funds and agency cuts. What would be the effect of a $39 million or 2% cut on your school?
Okay, so I picked an Andre Dotti tweet on this one. He said, I remember the pain from the last one. More work from cuts, more students, no job security, morale low, and many looking for new jobs. That's the effect, man. That's the effect of a 1% cut. That's a the effect of a 0.5% mm-hmm. cut anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're out of percents to cut.
And there was 3 cuts last year off of money that the schools were expected to spend because of the, they were given their yearly budget, and then we had revenue deficits at all 3 quarters or 3 of the 4 quarters. And so 3 times during the school year last year, money that schools had budgeted to spend was no longer available, and they had already made commitments. So what do you do? I don't know. I went with Vicky Donnelly. She is at Donnelly Vicky. She said, cuts. What is their reasoning for not seeing the issue that schools face? Can one of them answer that question? So I thought that was pretty good. And right behind that was Sean shared a graphic of the teacher shortage crisis. And I believe this is the this slide represents the number of emergency certified teachers in Oklahoma.
Yes.
So in 2011 and 2012, during that school year, there was 32 emergency certified teachers. And now, in 2017 and 2018, and we haven't finished 2018 yet, there have been 1,674 emergency certified teachers.
So, which some of them may be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them could have been, like what the Sky Took sub that did cartwheels with no underwear?
Whoops. You know, some days you just forget to put your underwear on. That's awkward.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Question five.
Question five is going to be, legislators and state officials from both parties have called on advocacy groups to speak out on the budget situation. How have you advocated for your students? And... oh, man. I mean, in Oakland Ed, we are always talking about, have you gotten a hold of your legislator? Here's the time to call your legislator. I think we are doing a better job of this. It just needs to stay constant. I mean, it's easy to say, all right, I did that last month, and then not do it again. You know, so we just need to stay on top of it. I went with a Megan Lloyd tweet on this one. She said, I stayed in Oklahoma. Does that count? Oh, and I call people out on Twitter even when they have full voicemails. Hashtag shade.
And
Megan, and I know she does. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and I know that Megan has not been able to participate very frequently in Oklahoma Head because she's working 2 other jobs to make ends meet. As a single educator living in the
Oklahoma. As a single educator with a dog.
Yeah, that's all. Children. Yeah, she has an apartment, she has a dog, and she lives in Oklahoma City area. So there you go. I mean, and I believe she's from Arkansas, so I don't think it would be too difficult for her to move back there and find a better paying job.
But exactly.
I went with Stacy Romerman, and I believe Stacy is one of our school board folks, local school board at her local school board. And I believe in the Tulsa area. I'm not sure, Aaron. And she said, sigh, after so many years, it feels futile. I focus my efforts on the public. I feel like OK Leg refuses to understand. And I feel like in my communications with my representative and my state senator, I can feel the same way. Like, they've already made up their mind. They don't want my input at all.
It feels like that.
Mm-hmm. So, and then Sean shared another graphic thanking legislators who voted for bipartisan budget solutions. So I think we should read them here.
Go ahead.
Representative, these are all representatives, Chad Caldwell, Dennis Casey, Josh Cockcroft.
Go ahead.
Do you have it? You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Jason Dunnington, John Eccles, Charles Ortega.
Yep. Leslie Osborne, Pat Ombe.
Justin Roberts, Earl Sears,
and Weldon Watson. So we thank you guys.
Did you know Earl Sears was my middle school principal in Bartlesville?
Oh, I do now.
There you go.
How about it? So then we got away from policy, which made a few people grumpy, I noticed. I totally get it. Having a ginormous grump fest on Twitter doesn't necessarily solve the world's problems, but sometimes we can feel better.
Sometimes once you get that vented out, you know, then you're good to go.
Yep, and some teachers weren't done venting. However, we took a different tact with question 6. New standards and test scores. What is your school doing to share information with parents and community members about the recently released test scores, which are significantly lower than probably what we're used to?
Oh my word. Yes. Okay. So I picked Andre Dottie's tweet again, only because it was kind of a gut check tweet also. He said, A6, after umpteen Okla Ledge chats where we state clearly that it's not about testing, for some reason, it's still not registering. And Scott, you talked me off of a ledge earlier this week,
did you not? I believe I was violating one of our new rules about texting and driving or whatever, but I don't want to say whether I was or wasn't.
Yeah. But I got hung up on those scores. I was feeling down in the dumps, like, geez Louise, is what we're doing working? Is it worth it? I've got kids who, like, quite literally now are starting their grade level almost a year behind based on these new test scores, and that's a hard pill to swallow. And so we were talking, you and I, about the big thing in reading is to find the students' independent reading level so that they can have books to read on their own while, you know, you're not doing guided reading, while you're not doing core reading, stuff like that. And so I thought, should I be finding my students' independent math level so that they can be practicing on skills when they're not with me? And I mean, I was kind of having a hissy fit the other day, and Scott, you had to talk me off the ledge because the test scores got to me.
Yeah.
And how many times have we had these chats where it's not about the testing, it's all about the students, we do what it, blah, 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 blah. And here I was, like, fussy about the test scores again.
Well, and I saw that Middell Soup also chimed in. It's not about the tests, it's about the kids.
Yeah, he helped too.
And there's your superintendent of schools right there telling you that.
Right.
So.
Right.
I don't know. As teachers, we want to say it's all about the kids, but then we're human and we get bad test scores back, and we don't want to see that about our teaching, because I think for the most part, most of us are very good at what we do. And
I do think it comes down to packaging. And I said that back to Andre. I was like, you know, we do still want this thing called education wrapped up in a pretty little package with a bow on top of it so that we can get state funding. Mm-hmm. I mean, this year it wasn't punitive, but next year, will it be punitive?
Yeah,
I mean,
don't know.
Will funding increase or decrease? And shoot, maybe that's all Oklahoma had to do to make sure that Oklahoma schools didn't get more money, change the standards, and now they don't have to pay as much, right?
Right. I don't know.
I think they just solved their own budget crisis.
It's crazy. Because there really is more to what's going on in learning. And I think too, the nature of the of testing is just out of whack with its original intent, which is you give a test and you get that information back within 2 or 3 weeks and you go, okay, this is what we need to focus on to wrap up our year. These are the issues that we have to correct before they go on to summer break. And I would argue as well that our extended summer break is not good for the learning process either.
No, gosh, no.
Because now you're taking 8 or 9 weeks off, and so any progress made, how, you know, every year in math, we spent 6 weeks reviewing, 6 weeks, reviewing the previous year's material. And that's fine. I don't expect the kids to remember everything that they did the previous school year after a 9 week vacation. So maybe we need to rethink our school calendars work.
But seriously, Scott, with the way it looks right now, and again, if the students really are nearly a year behind, I'm going to have to review 2 school year goes for 6 weeks before I can work that school year and then hopefully get through this school year.
Yeah.
This, I mean, the idea for an educator is, I mean, it was daunting. It really was. So that's where I was earlier this week, and I apologize, but I was fed up earlier.
So I went with Miss Talanya Norfar, who I love. And the times I get to be with her, we have the most amazing conversations, and I just like to bask in her glory because you talk about a project-based learning genius. Talanya is the genius, and she is at TH Norfar. She said, I don't care. Superintendent sent out a message to families, but I don't think they care. They just care if I care about their child.
Yep. Bam. I mean, I in talking with my parents, it's all the same too. I mean, she hit the nail right on the dang it, I never get that one right. Why do I keep going to that one?
She hit the nail on the head.
On the head. Yeah. No, she got it. I mean, that's 100% right.
Yeah.
Do I care about their kid? Yes, I do. All right, moving on.
Hey, you can walk into a school that's rated a quote-unquote failing school and go in there and find teachers who are amazing, who love their kids, and that's what you want to see.
Exactly. Question 7. New standards, new test scores. How is your district using the teacher-student level data to inform instruction? Rick Cobb.
How are you going to read his tweet?
I picked it because it looks fun in the notes. So you're going to have to scroll to the show notes. Rick Cobb has... I think he could care less. I think this was his way of nicely giving two birds in this tweet. I don't think he cares.
I think you're correct. I look at all this, too, as... I think I tweeted this out the other day or shared it on Facebook or something, but you can really suffer from paralysis from analysis. Like we can generate so much data to go through that we just spend all our time going through all this data and then what? Okay, we just spent 40 hours going through all this data. What are you going to do now? Yeah. Well, we've got this whole new battery of stuff to get a whole new batch of data. Well, when is meaningful lesson planning going to occur here? When are we going to try and meet the needs of this set of data? And how much digging do you want to do? We collect so much data. You could just stick your head in there and never, as a teacher, and never, ever, ever, ever come up for air. And that's not good for anybody.
And a lot of people say numbers don't lie. But if you filter your spreadsheets, numbers lie all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that.
No.
I also forgot. I put a Kathy Dunn tweet in here right after Rick's because they had a little conversation going after Rick's tweet.
Oh yeah,
and she said that's exactly what I was gonna say. I just didn't know how to spell it.
Yeah, it's not. And there's for those of you listening as opposed to reading, there's nothing in Rick Cobb's tweet.
Nothing.
There's nothing there. I went with Jason Bings, and I thought his was great. He's at Jason Bings. He said, it's always difficult teaching with autopsy results. It points out areas of weakness that we can work on, but new year means new students.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that gets lost a lot with folks, because I can take last year's data. That's great, but those kids are past me now. So what am I going to do?
Now what?
Oh, question 8. I have heard from many educators and board members concerned about the possible effect of the special session and test scores. What can Oakland Ed do to sustain improved morale? At the risk of being offensive, they could move. I mean, at some point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, huh. Whew.
Yeah. Well, I went with a Nathan Megat.
I bet it's Megat.
At Megat.
That's what I would say.
Okay. He said, we keep our eyes focused on the target, which is growing leaders, learners, lawyers, doctors, policemen, night shift, janitors, etc. And we do. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you told me to do. That's what Rick told me to do. That's what we all have to do. We just put our head down and keep going.
Yeah. We grow our kids, man.
Grow them.
I went with Kim Meacham. She is at KB Meach. She says, keep letting T's know they're valued every chance you get. T's keep caring about your students. Don't sit quiet. Speak up. And I think that's the most important thing. Is speaking up. It's important to share your story as a teacher, as a parent, as an administrator, with whoever you can share it with. Because people need to understand where we're at right now. Like, where are we really sitting? And not woe is me, I'm a teacher in Oklahoma and I have to leave. Not woe is me, I'm a teacher in Oklahoma, we get paid less. Those things are important, and I'm not knocking that. But how do you truly want your school, your teacher, your community, your administration viewed? How do you as a parent want your students, teachers viewed? And there just needs to be some decency and some respect in there. And it's my personal opinion that we're in a valley as far as that goes right now.
Right.
There's a lot of entitlement from a lot of different sides, you know, in a lot of different ways as it revolves around education. And I always loved getting just thank you letters from moms and kids and dads and grandmas or whoever. It just made some of those really challenging situations more bearable. So if you're listening to this in whatever way, if you think something great about your staff or your faculty or your administrators or the teachers of your own kids, if you think something great, please just send them an email, send them like a $2 Sonic card. Just thank them for what they're doing. I'm telling you, it goes a long way.
Sean gave us a call to action this week.
He did. You got it pulled up.
He said, yep. He said, I did have it pulled up. What on earth?
So you do have it pulled
up? Go ahead, yeah. He said basically call your okay House member and ask them to reconsider the bipartisan budget plan and fund education with a $3,000 teacher pay raise. That was the first call to action.
Right.
There was a second semi call to action, in that you could use the link that we've put into the show notes for OSSBA text alerts so that you can stay informed, you know, and sometimes that's the first step.
Right, just being aware.
Just being aware, yeah.
Because I don't understand all the ins and outs, but I understand that people are looking out for me, and they hopefully have a good handle of ins and outs.
Well, exactly. So, Boomsauce tweets.
Oof. These chats are hard.
For Set Singer. Hers was just beautiful because it gave some comic relief to start out with, and it was for the answer one. But she said, it reminds me of a camping song. Same story, second verse, a little bit louder and a whole lot worse.
which song is that one? I don't remember.
I don't know, but it was just funny, and I could just, as soon as I started reading it,
I know I've sang funny. That song before.
Second verse, same as the first.
I went with Kimberly Blodgett. She is at Kimber Blodgett. She said, the time for concern is past. It's time to do something. We're losing educators. Your concern can kiss it. F word, do something. And she just, she literally just put the letter F and then
F.
And then word. She didn't say anything potty language.
No, she didn't.
I like that too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, boy. Next week. Okay, cultivating communication in the classroom.
This will be a totally different chat.
It's going to be totally different, yes. And it will be light and fun. And if you are not following Lisa Johnson, she is at Tech Chef for You on the Twitters.
Yeah.
She is at Tech Chef for You on Pinterest with a bajillion ideas.
Yeah.
She's got at Note Chef on Instagram because she's now into bullet journaling and sketchnoting and stuff like that. I mean, this girl is all over it and just a bevy of information. She's got a book which is Cultivating Communication in the Classroom. Lisa Johnson is moderating the chat next week, 8 p.m. Sunday.
I've been into a couple of her sessions and she's good.
She's good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything she does is pretty.
Well,
she does pretty stuff.
Yeah. She's got that brain that works towards pretty.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is helped out by her, throwing herself into this whole note thing that she's been talking about recently. Because she talked about it at iPad Palooza a couple years ago. She talked about it at iPad Palooza this year. So I think when you really try and fully develop your note-taking, like she's doing it, and she's not like Roman numeral one, indent number, indent lowercase. I mean, this is completely different note-taking. And I think it just generates a ton of creativity. So I'm excited to see what she has to say.
Yay!
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
And so that's, like I said, Sunday.
Yepers. So,
Ooh, we're working on a special episode right now.
Oh, dang. I all right it too early. Shoot. We are working on a special episode. Tease it up.
A special episode. So, we threw out the enduring questions. We should throw the link in this as well.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
So that if people have questions that, you know, they want answered, we can try and get some answers for you. We've got a couple of educators you're not used to hearing from on the OCLASED Twitter chat. We, Scott, have talked about them, but we've got their voice live, you know, on the air. So that will be coming out this week, and I'm pretty stoked about it.
What's going on here, this will be a little bit different because this is something that you're working on, right, Erin? So my voice probably won't be in there.
Right.
Because you're doing this, you're kind of doing this tied into OCLASED, but a little bit separate from our podcast. So the way that you're going to put it together will be a little different than our current format.
Yes, but it's based on feedback that our listenership wants.
Yeah, things that OCLASED and Podcast EDU folks want to know.
Yes.
I'm quite excited.
Me too.
I think it'll be amazeballs.
All right.
All righty. Okay, educators, you know what to do.
Go out and dominate the world.
I'm supposed to say it loud, right?
Todd Gregg. It's so funny when you hit me with this tag through the Twitters with a 1 week lag. OCLASED got a rap to make you happy with your personal lyric. Now go review, just don't make it crappy.
You ready?
All right.
I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready?
Okay.
You want to do it now?
Yeah.
How about now?
Yeah.
Right now?
Are you ready?
Saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.